be the cult of personality. The cult of personality.
I mean, anybody with eyes knows that was a catch.
And that is very true, as we are 8 months removed from the catch, the Dez Bryant situation, that from Cowboys fans everywhere, just cringing. Absolutely, completely obsessed with himself. And now we don't start again. We had about 4 days, 5 days, we got football again. He's just put a 2-10 boot on himself. And as well as, you can send us a Facebook message at the Stars Online Show. You can shoot us an email at overtimefnn@gmail.com. And we want to hear your questions. The first thing I have to say with my Cowboy camp is, who is going to challenge Dez Bryant? Who is going to be the one to give Dez Bryant the biggest challenge, as he was the MVP in camp last season? Well, you got to think it's got to be a secondary guy, right? You got to think it's going to be a corner or a safety at least, because that's who Dez deals with most of the time. But it is going to be a secondary player, but it may not be one you know. It may not be Scandrick. It may not be Byron Jones, the number one pick. It may not be Brandon Parr, who he gave all that money to. In fact, it's going to be Tyler Patman. So any run-of-the-mill casual fan of the league who doesn't know who Tyler Patman is, let me just give you a little tidbit of information. Cowboys fans, you probably know this if you watched all the games like I did last season. Tyler Patman, in his first ever NFL game, making an appearance due to an injury in our secondary, 6 against Carson Palmer. That's right, a pick 6 against Carson Palmer in the Philadelphia Eagles game, or excuse me, in the Arizona Cardinals game, rather. They're both birds. I get that confused. And they were down 7-0 right off the bat with Tyler Patman. And even the announcers were like, Tyler Patman, a guy who doesn't get on the field very often. Well, we put it on our Facebook page a couple weeks ago, actually, if you want to check it out. Tyler Patman and Dez Bryant came to blows at camp. Okay. Now, that is an interesting little scenario there, because Tyler Patman is trying to remake this roster. He's trying to make a name for himself. What better of a name for yourself can you make than trying and attempting to shut down Dez Bryant? Because, you know, obviously, number one receiver on the team, top 3 in the league. Well, Patman got all up in his face. Patman got up in his grill, pressed coverage, got the hands up underneath the helmet, and Dez didn't like it too much. You know how Dez is the outspoken sort of fireball on the team that keeps everybody going, gets everybody really moving. And, you know, Dez Bryant is the one who, in camp, always sort of gets people together. He gets them pumped up. He lights that fire. And this time, Tyler Patman decided to be an instigator. Dez came back. Punches were thrown. They were eventually broken up. Initially, I was nervous, but the cool thing was, at the end, they were hugging up, brother, brother. Hey, it happened. Both guys said, hey, we're competitors. That kind of thing happens. Both of them kind of brushed it off a little bit. And I'm not too worried about it. I'm really not too nervous, simply because kind of Patman is going to be challenging Dez all. Known for, I can't say that he takes games off. I really can't say that he takes games off, because he doesn't. Or not games, but plays off and things like that. He's always 110%, but he's sort of in that mental case a bit, where he could snap at any point. He really seems like an active volcano to me, Dez Bryant does. But I think Dez is probably going to push Dez the hardest. Just like I said, who benefits most from the Dez contract situation last week that we talked about? Well, obviously, Dez benefits the most from the Dez Bryant contract situation, because now Dez gets all this money and he's able to come in and...
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
There he is. What's going on?
You still there? Christopher.
Beautiful. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You were going in and out for a second.
Oh, no worries there. No worries. So, were you listening at all to the beginning of the show, what I was sort of going with Dez Bryant?
I got in at one point and could hear you talking about, punches were thrown, and then they hugged it out, and then I dropped out again. I don't know what's going on. Right now I'm on, I don't know, I called in as like a co-host, so I don't know what's going on with...
Well, here's what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen and listeners. We do apologize about the last 2 weeks. In fact, we have had some issues technology-wise. We had an issue where I had friends up and I was broadcasting with my work from the Saratoga Racecourse. And, we've had some in and out issues. Blog Talk Radio has went to Hi-Fi, which I didn't even know what that meant until I looked it up on Google. And ever since then, things have went haywire. So I think we've got it figured out, but bear with us here. So, Dustin, so the question, I guess, that was sent in by a listener was, who benefits the most from Dez Bryant being in camp, and who is going to push Dez Bryant the hardest? Who's going to challenge him the most out of everybody else at camp?
So I feel like we kind of played with this question a few weeks back before he ended his whole holdout. We had, discussed it, and I had made the case that I think the cornerbacks, the secondary, the defense benefits the most, because it's a pretty well-known fact that Dez Bryant is, if not one, he's two, the best wide receiver in the league, him and Calvin Johnson. So you would think if you have to defend that guy or that 1B best wide receiver in the league selection, you're going to get a lot of experience, a lot of training to get you ready for the regular season, where you're not necessarily playing that guy every game. So if we can train, our corners, especially our young corners that are just a, piece of clay that's ready to be molded, that Jones guy, okay, if he's going to, start the season at safety or whatever, be a hybrid guy, play all kinds of different positions, are you telling me that he is not going to be very beneficial? Like, he's not going to be like the main beneficiary of defending Dez Bryant in camp, and then bring that to the field with him when he's got to go against guys like Victor Cruz, if they're healthy, DeSean Jackson. God, who else? I don't even think that Philly has anybody worth mentioning at wide receiver, but you got to think that if you're defending guys like Dez Bryant in camp and you're getting to the point where you can challenge that guy, when you got to go up against somebody who names themselves the Cowboy Killer and is really only just a little skinny, tool bag who has no physical real ability other than to just flat out run, you got to think you're in good shape when you got to defend that guy, because you've been defending a monster in camp. So I just think that...
But it's a different play style, though. I mean, Dez is what, 6'3", 6'4", 200?
Oh, no. 50
he's six, pounds?
Yeah, he's 6'1". They give him 6'2", but he's 6'1".
Well,
he's not crazy tall. He's not crazy tall. He's a freak athlete. He's a go-get-it wide receiver, which is why he is so good, because a lot of wide receivers make you hit him right in the hands. And Dez is like, nah, screw that. I'll go over the middle. I'll go get this ball. I'll go catch this ball at the last, you know, one of the best, most defining moments of the game in Green Bay, whether they gave it to him or not. That was the that was one of the most I'm going to take over this game moments, most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. And he's that guy. And if you have a corner that's like, all right, I guess I'm going up with you, and could put in, you know what I mean, put a hit on you and be physical, make that difficult. I just think having Dez in camp benefits our defense the most as a whole, but mostly the secondary.
Well, yeah, I would have to say that the secondary is going to certainly benefit. But what I was just saying there was before you got in was who's going to benefit the most? Obviously the secondary. That's what I mentioned. But the entire defense as a whole, because you have to scheme around playing Dez, but who's going to push Dez the hardest? Who's going to challenge Dez? We were talking about the Tyler Patman thing and how Patman, you know, came to blows with Dez during camp. And then, you know, he got a ball on press coverage, got a ball in his face under the face mask. Dez retaliated. There was words that had to be separated. I didn't hear anything yet. And of course, they've only been in camp for a few days, but I haven't heard anything about Scandrick, Carr, or Byron Jones. But yet I hear something about Tyler Patman, who barely made the ball. He actually came up off the practice squad last season. There was an injury. I believe it was during the Scandrick suspension. If not, I believe there was an injury somewhere in our secondary, and he stepped in. He's one of those double guys, too. He can play safety, whatever you need him to. And his big Cowboy moment was that pick six against Carson Palmer and the Eagles. And now, again, he's not locked in. Again, he's battling for a roster spot, and he's got the, I'm trying to watch my language here on the air, but he's got the intestinal fortitude to go right at Dez Bryant and, you know, get up under the face mask and be physical with him, when a lot of guys who are even barely on a team would probably be intimidated by this guy. Would probably
well, think about it, Chris. If you had a chance to make a team, right? Okay, like I think about it this way. Dez Bryant is a polarizing figure. He's wearing 88. He's wearing the playmaker's number, and he's trying to make it Dez Bryant's number. So he is right now a name that's almost as big as the name on the front of the jersey. So here's the issue. There's a lot of guys that are going to, you know, the Romos of the world that just have, you know, they have the mutual respect, and they're up there with him as far as importance and, you know, fame. They're, who cares? You know what I mean? They don't care. They're like, yeah, it's fuck. It's Dez being Dez, you know, whatever. He's they would never throw a punch. Guys that are on the same level. It's always the guys that are trying to make the team and they're trying to prove that they belong. Nobody that's on Dez's level cares enough about practice to do this. You see it.
Dez loves practice.
I understand Dez loves the practice, but I'm looking at this as Dez is, you know, going 50%, and then the guy defending Dez takes it a little bit, you know, takes it a little bit more serious, rips his helmet off. Dez probably goes, really? Are we doing that? And then that the other guy, what's his name? Patman, whoever he is. Yeah, the other guy's like, yeah, mother effer. You know, I can just look at the body language and not even be able to read lips, and I know exactly what is said. And then I know exactly what escalates it. It's literally, I've seen the video many times, and I saw the close-up video, and it's like, what the hell are you trying to do? We're practicing. And then the other guy's like, man, I'm not going to give this to you easy. And then he's like, and then Dez is like, really, are we doing this in practice? And then the other guy swings, and Dez, you know, or Dez was the first one. No. Yeah. Yeah. The other guy swung first, then Dez got close to him, and he went for like an extreme horizontal hook that barely hit him in the chest. Yeah. So I just feel like we see it every year. There's one team with a bunch of, you know, attitudes all thrown into one hot spot, which is, you know, the summer camp practice. And there's always, I feel like last year it was the Seahawks. And then the year before, I forget who else. But every year, there's somebody that throws punches at somebody in their own team. Everybody's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then all of a sudden you see, you know, NFL Live covering it. And you got to see Wingo and all these guys being like, it's not that big of a deal. It's practice. These guys are all emotional. They're trying to make the team. You know, it's the same crap every year. It's nothing to worry about, especially when it's Dez and a no-name guy who's probably barely going to be on the team. But my point is, if I'm trying to make a team and I'm trying to make a statement, I'm walking onto that practice field. You better believe I'm picking a fight with the biggest name on the team. Because if I get noticed by the guy who has the biggest name on the team, you better believe that I'm getting noticed by all the other guys, and I'm getting noticed by the coaches. So it's like, if you can be the one guy that gets underneath the greatest wide receiver on the team's skin, then maybe you give yourself some value to remain with the team. That's my point.
And you think you probably earned respect around the team?
Yeah, absolutely.
For getting in Dez's face like that as well. I'd have to imagine that he did. But, you know, one thing I look at here, though, is Dez has that win now attitude. Dez wants to win, obviously, right now. He wants to be the best on a winning team, wants to bring this team to the Super Bowl. He goes 110% in practice constantly, and he's one of the only guys, like you said, of his level that does that. And now, you know, a lot of players, you know, they take plays off. They kind of go through the drills. They go through the motions, especially the veterans. And I sort of put in the description here, I put who else wants to win now. Because, you know, you look at the guys in practice, like Romo always usually goes pretty hard. You know, Jason Witten, even Terrence Williams is going hard. We saw Greg Hardy working hard. But, you know, I'm looking at these young guys, and I'm thinking these young guys are saying, all right, just do enough to make the team. Do enough to make the team. Because they know that they're not going to play that much. Okay, just do enough to get by and make a roster. Tyler Pettman comes out, does something, you know, like that, getting up in Dez's face. Now, he could have went after Terrence Williams. He could have went after Cole Beasley. He could have went after Jason Witten. He could have went after any one of these guys, even one of the other, let's name Devin Street, some of the guys that we picked up in the draft this year. But no, he goes after the big name Dez Bryant, the $70 million guy. And I think that sort of shows a little bit what Rod Marinelli has put into these young guys. I think it shows a little bit that Marinelli has really instilled that tough swagger type attitude, and going out to get guys like Hardy is sort of definitely going to toughen up this defense as a whole. It's going to make everybody a little bit tough.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I'm excited because, I mean, you know what, we've been saying it since the beginning. Well, me a little bit more than you, but I know you like toughness too. I want nasty guys, man. I want some mean ex-con guys out there that are going to just scare some people, dude. Give me, I don't care what you did in your past life. If you're nasty and you're going to want to just break somebody in half, get on this team and let's get rid of this little power, you know, putta puff image that we have, because I'm so sick of it. Like I said, DeMarcus Ware set the tone for us. I'm going to tackle you to the ground and I'm going to hold you from letting you bump your head on the ground. And I'm going to put my hand out and I'm going to help you back to your feet and say good game and pat you on the butt. Get the hell out of here with that. I don't want that on the team. That's why you're doing so good in Denver, guy. All right. I don't want you on the team. I want a nasty guy that is going to snap the quarterback that we are playing in half. Get him out of the game, because I'm sick of watching everybody do it to my guy. I want to finally do it to somebody else's.
You know, I just noticed something. I spent the weekend in Martha's Vineyard. I had a family over on the Cape, went out there, visited the whole thing. And I never really noticed this about you before. I know you're from New England originally. That accent is starting to come out a little bit. Like, I guess because I've heard it all week, that, you know, being on the Cape and then being in Martha's Vineyard, but I'm just like, you know, like, it's kind of, I'm listening to it with a smile. So I like that. I like it a little bit. You might not think you have it, but it's there. But hey, probably the coolest accent in the country is New England accent. So roll with it. But yeah, I like the toughness too. I like that, but I don't like toughness. See, here's the thing. A lot of the guys you're talking about, those big, nasty guys who are going to do that, they don't usually have an off switch. And I don't want a guy – I want him to be nasty on the field, sure. I want him to be that hard-hitting, doomsday-type defense. But I don't want him to be out of control nasty, because I don't need 15 15-yard penalties for unsportsmanlike conduct and late hit and roughing the passer and all this other stuff. Or you know, I would prefer, yeah, not helping them up off the ground like DeMarcus Ware used to do, but I want guys who are nasty from whistle to whistle and then do what they're supposed to do, discipline in between whistles. Because if, you know, if we get this team, that, you remember the Saints team, I believe it was, a long time ago now, I was a senior in college, so the 2009 season, 2010, by the time they had played, you know, the whole Bounty Gate thing. You remember how nasty and tough that defense was? They used to tear torsos off bodies. And that's sort of what I wanted on this team, but they also got a lot of penalties. So, you know, so I like what you're saying, but in a way, I kind of want a guy who has an off switch as well. You know what I'm saying?
I get that, and I respect it, and I understand it. But here's the thing, right? I've seen teams that literally say, first series of the game, go get a personal foul. Just go take the QB out. Send them a message. Say, we don't give a crap. Take your 15 yards. You're in for a long game. And the coach is cool with it, and man, is it fun to watch. Because you know that it's personal, and the coach is like, we're putting you on your behind all day. Welcome to the Thunderdome. And that's what I want. I want the nasty. I'm telling you that Marinelli knows what he's doing, man. Like you said, he really knows what he's doing. He's an intelligent guy. He's putting intelligence into our guys. And I just think that there's a perfect combination of the two. And you can have a guy like Hardy that can seep just dick and nasty, and I'm just a scumbag. You just look at him and you hate him. And I'm like, I think that can rub off on our young guys, and that's going to be incredible if we can pull that off. You got to stay out of trouble, obviously. Don't go beating girls up. Don't go robbing freaking jewelry stores. You know, leave the cologne on the display shelf. If you need underwear, use some of your $100,000 salary that, even though you think it's dog crap, it's still more than us. So it's like, you know, take it easy, guy. Stay out of from behind bars. Let's make America's team the team to beat again. All right. Let's become America's team all over again. Let's be offended when somebody thinks, dude, Cowboys aren't America's team anymore. We should all jump up and be like, are you a moron? We need to get back to those points where we are a powerhouse team and we are feared. And that starts with the doomsday defense. We need that back.
And I think we are closer than we've ever been to having it back. But
I think especially because of Hardy.
Oh yeah, of course. But I mean, I definitely think that, I definitely think though that this is a trial season. This is a prove what you're worth, prove what you can do kind of a season. I'm not confident enough yet to go with, you know, yeah, this is the best defense we've ever had, this is whatever, because who knows? I mean, if these young guys don't play well together and, you know, we're winning games but we're giving up 30 points a game, then, you know, who knows? But I definitely think that we're on our way to building something pretty scary. But the one thing we've got to do is make sure that we get this defense in order right now, because we've got about a 3, maybe 4-year window with Romo. And Romo and Witten here, before we have to decide and have another big question mark, who's going to play quarterback for us in the future. So if we can get the defense going now and give Romo the best chance to win his Super Bowl now, I don't care how nasty we are. I don't care what we do, say, on the field, off the field. I don't care. As long as we hoist that Lombardi trophy, I'm gonna be a happy camper. I mean, you could tell me I have... Well, okay, this is going to sound a little extreme, and I apologize to any listeners out there who had family members suffer with this, but you could tell me I had cancer, and if we won the Super Bowl, I'd be like, yeah, all right, cool.
Die happy. You go out with a smile.
Exactly. You're on target with that one. So, I mean, that's sort of how I feel as a super fan, but another thing that I feel like is that the Dallas Cowboys may not be totally happy. And I say this because reports have been coming out, both from Valley Ranch and it's all over the internet, that they may not exactly be 100% sold on Joseph Randle being their starter. There's a lot of news coming out, a lot of disputes and debates and whatever coming back out that perhaps this team is looking for that power back. Perhaps they want Darren McFadden and Joseph Randle to be their speed guys, their transition backs, their H-backs, but perhaps they want that big bruiser for down low and the third and goals and the from the 15-yard line once they get down in the red zone. Rumor has it, Steven Jackson, the old Rams running back and then Atlanta for a while, who never really got off his feet because he was on bad teams. I mean, I loved Steven Jackson. I just used to feel bad for him because I knew how passionate he was. I knew how emotional he was. I knew how talented he was. But he just was on a bad Rams team. And then he went to Atlanta, and they were decent, but they didn't run the ball because they had Matty Ice and Julio Jones and Roddy White, so he barely got touches. He's reaching out to the Cowboys and saying, hey, I want to play for you. I want to end my career in Dallas. So if he comes in, this could provide a huge boost to the Dallas running game, especially down near the goal line. But is picking up Jackson really the best idea? One, I don't know what he has left in the tank. Two, he's been banged up. And three, we're going to have to cut some people to make room for him. We just gave more money to Mincy. So who would we cut for him? And would possibly taking a potential star in the future off this roster to bring in this guy who really hasn't proven much of anything despite his potential, I mean, would that be a good move? I mean, do you like the Jackson idea?
So I'm torn about it because I'm gonna bring you on a little time travel with me. When I was a kid and I used to play video games, my favorite thing to do was when I would do like association mode or franchise mode and there's a salary cap, I figured out that instead of taking the best guy, the Michael Jordan at the time with the biggest salary and then, winning that way, I would literally do like a team full of washed up veterans that would take the veteran minimum. And then I would have all the legends on the team. And then we'd still do well because we had a bunch of legends that were making like a quarter of the money that they made at one time. But they were together and they had those X factor genes that always seemed to, not be a part of all the younger guys. So I'm very attached to veterans, especially guys that don't have any issues and that, like what you said, he's a passionate guy. He did well. He's the face of the Rams for the longest time. You really thought he was going to turn the Falcons into a contender because you thought that's what they were missing. And it just didn't work out. And I mean, if you want to chalk it up to the fact that the Falcons can't stay healthy,
the play call,
Matt Ryan, whatever. But so it just leaves me with, is he as good as we really think he is? Yeah, he's in the twilight of his career. I'm sick of guys that were at one time the guy for the running back position coming to a team and only looking to be one of the guys. I don't like this running back by committee thing. We've said it 1,000 times. Maybe, would I rather we traded in one of our O-line picks this year for a quality running back, like you were saying, like first round, second round, so we could be that future guy? Maybe. I mean, maybe hindsight. Yeah, I guess we'll find out at the end of the season if this whole O-line project worked out. But I just don't know. I mean, I'd rather have Byron Jones than a top tier running back out of the draft. But again, we'll have to look back after the season and see if what happened really worked best for all of us, if letting Murray go made sense. So I just think, yes, I like the guy, but it's like, okay, let's say we get rid of, one of the scrubs at RB, not anybody quality that you're talking about. We got about a 4-man running back committee right now. Drop the worst one. Not McFadden, not Randall. Who's the other one? Dunbar? Get rid of Dunbar.
Dunbar, and we already got rid of Ryan Williams, but we have the guy from Baylor there.
The young guy, right? He's like a rookie or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would never get rid of the rookie because there's a chance that, he blows up out of nowhere. And then he becomes the future, right? He could be that guy that just sits in waiting until like week 6 And then all of a sudden, because of an injury, he steps up and just goes nuts. And then we're like, oh, my God, we get our new DeMarco. So I'm telling you, I dumped Dunbar just because I don't care about him. I'm going to be honest. He hasn't done anything for me in the years he's been with us. And, yeah, whatever. Yeah, go get the veteran. Go get the guy who's been in this league long enough to know what to expect. But again, when I get these guys, when I get the McFaddens and the Steven Jacksons of the world, I want them to freaking start. I want them to be the guy. I don't want them to just be a washed up, you know, retirement committee with the Cowboys. There was a column out just dogging McFadden, saying he's just here to collect the paycheck because we were the only team dumb enough to pay him what we're paying him. So it's just like, and obviously he denied it, and I feel bad for him because he was hyped up this whole offseason. Oh, I feel like I'm a rookie all over again. Da, 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 da. He's into it. And then what? He can't even beat out freaking Randall, right? And it's like, come on. You're supposed to have this freak ability. You can't even beat out a backup running back. Like, if you can't beat out the backup who couldn't beat out the guy that just left our team, what does that show me? It just shows me that you're fast and you have bad hamstrings. And you're probably done in the NFL. So the McFadden thing seems to be a complete just fail and just a waste of time. So what do we do? Do we let him heal up, put him in, watch him go for, 1.9 yards per carry for like 30 attempts throughout the season and then just get cut or just end up being a bench guy? Or do we just move on and we, give the bruiser a shot? But we know how he is. He runs like AP. He runs like Marion Barber. He's a physical dude, talking about Steven Jackson. So these guys don't usually last this long. So, I mean, come on. I don't know. I'm worried because it's like, okay, if we get him and we start him, obviously he probably doesn't want to start because he wants to last a few more years. And he probably is smart enough to realize if I go out there and I run recklessly like I have been my entire career because that's my style, I'll make it till about week 3 and then I'm going to be broken in half. So, I don't know, man, it's just a tough call. This is a really difficult position, especially in today's NFL.
Well, this would be a situation where we'd have two guys on the same team, sort of in the same situation. Two guys who came into the league with a buttload of potential, but were sort of fell victim to the team that they were on. They sort of fell victim to the offensive line that they had in front of them. They were guys who, should have been probably considered top 10 running backs coming out of college. And they were guys who, you watched them play and you were like, damn, they're really good. And the guys that you watched, we were like, I'm not a fan of this team, but I wish he was on another team. But I enjoy what he does and I like his passion, but his team sucks. So it's one of those kind of situations. If we had both of those guys and both guys coming down to try to prove something and both guys sort of, trying to come back and say that maybe they're actually worth something, I think that could be an interesting scenario. I mean, for me in the media, that's a media, a media dream for those guys. I can just see the headlines now. So I like the idea, but sort of the one thing that makes me a little nervous about it probably is the fact that Steven Jackson isn't really anything anymore other than a third down guy. When he comes into the game, if we do sign him, if he comes into the game, everybody knows where it's going. He's not a blocker. Everybody knows he's basically a glorified fullback in this offense. So when he comes into the game, they're going to stuff the box. And then Romo's going to have to audible out. They're going to see the audible, drop it back. I think that we should leave what we have alone right now because we have McFadden, who is that speed lightning bolt kind of a guy, and we have Randall, who can take contact but also has some speed. So I think we should leave it alone right now. And if we end up needing something halfway through the season or however long, if he's still on the market, then, yeah, go get him. But bringing him in now, Chris Johnson, CJ2K, also reached out to us. We also saw what happened with the Jets with him. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I was just starting to accept our running back core, and then now all of a sudden these two come out and say, well, we want to play for Dallas, and now I've got to get hopeful all over again. So I mean, to me, I would just leave it the way it is right now and focus on being the best team we can be for week one and not worry about any of that. If we need it, if somebody goes down, if it's not working for us, sure, go get one. But right now, just if it ain't broken, don't fix it, you know?
I agree.
Yeah, so, you know, that's just me. That's just my thoughts behind it. I mean, I would love to have Steven Jackson 5 years ago. I would have been jumping for joy, you know, running around my apartment complex with my shirt off, freaking, you know, swinging in the air, you know, yelling.
Well, Chris, we've already seen it, though. We've already seen it. You can't tell me that Marion Barber.
Not with this O-line. We haven't seen.
Okay, I guess. Because realistically, you could put Marshawn Lynch back there, and we'd probably be a shoo-in for the
Super
Bowl.
Yeah, that'd be heaven.
Right, because it seems like this offensive line is more power run than finesse and speed. And that's the hunch I get. That's what I get from what I watch. So it makes me think, because I love the speed backs. I prefer, I'm blown away we didn't go after CJ2K, because I think he would have been, it would be incredible. That's why I was so excited about McFadden. The guy runs a 4.2, you know, 4.2, late, 4.high, 4.3. So it's like, the guy would be, he'd be gone. But at the same time, Murray, you know, he did well. We know he's a lot slower, but I'm telling you, there are times where when I played it back, you needed patience as a running back, and speed backs do not have patience to find and let the hole develop, because there are times where you would watch Murray. He'd put his hand on the back of the O-line guy. He'd kind of stand still for a second, and then he'd push the O-line guy forward, and he'd just go. Like, he had a great awareness about him and vision that I think people don't realize and took for granted. So I just don't know if these speed guys have that, because realistically, all I think about with a speed guy is they're like, they get the ball and they're like, zoom. And unfortunately, if your O-line guys aren't that fast, you're just going to be going zoom right into the back of an O-line guy. And then you're going to be done, because generally the speed guys are good, you know, north to south, not good, you know, east to west. And that's where the making adjustments comes in. And then you either get tripped or you bump into somebody and you fall over because you're tiny. That's why you're so fast. So I don't know.
True, and I do agree with you in that sense. But he's coming up now into, we're coming on to the preseason. We're going to hit the preseason, you know, head on here in a minute. And the games aren't really too far away. I mean, look at the schedule pulled up here. The Dallas Cowboys' first preseason game, if I were to pull it up here, season schedule. Their first preseason game is August 13th, so that's next week, and they play the San Diego Chargers. So we've got a little bit to go, but my question is to you here is, does anybody really care about the preseason? I mean, I'll watch the Hall of Fame game in Canton, sure, you know, just because that's just, I haven't had football for 9 months and I'm losing my mind, but do you really... Like, I know you're a super fan, and I know now, you know, we're doing the radio show and everything, but do you really watch and analyze the preseason to see what we have as a team, or do you just kind of go, or do you just kind of do whatever you want to do and live your life normally and maybe check the score when you get the score update or something at the end and not really care too much about it?
Preseason to me is Tebow time. You know, it's when you want to take a look at the rookies, right? Because I'm going to be honest with you. When the preseason comes, I want to see what Jamarcus Russell looks like. Fucking whatever the kid's name is down in Tampa Bay, Winston. I want to see if he's going to live up to the hype, if he's going to be the next Jamarcus Russell. Or I want to see Mariota out there. I want to see the rookies. That's what I always look to see, those top five rookies. That's where I look to see it in the preseason. I find those top five rookies, and I'm like, all right, are you as good as everyone says? Let's see you, you know, react to some NFL game time here, some NFL veterans. So realistically, you know, I mean, I'll want to watch Byron Jones because he's one of our top picks. I want to see how Collins does, you know, but realistically, I mean – man, you know me, my favorite guy is Romo. We're not going to see Romo out there. Okay. Well, we might catch him for like a couple series in game four Yeah, so it's like I hate the preseason because it's the ultimate, you know, blue ball effect for me, because you get to see the guys all dressed up, you know, and you're like, all right, they're going to go out. And then you see Romo do one play and then he goes to the bench. It's like, come on, like, go out there, play a quarter or something. You know, I don't know. If you're not going to play, don't show up to the game is my point. Yeah, like, I don't mind when the games come on and then you see them in street clothes. I'm like, all right, cool, fine. And then I just change the channel because I know there's no chance of them going in. But don't make them suit up to stand on the sidelines and be, you know, Cowboys models. Like, it's stupid. So realistically, to me, I don't like the preseason other than as, you know, to shake the rust off if you're, you know, a veteran, or if, like what I just said, you get a lot of hype coming in and you're a rookie.
And, you know, we're going to see football this week, the Hall of Fame game, Steelers-Vikings, AP versus Big Ben. But to me, I like it because the last couple of years, we've had so many holes and so many spots, and I wasn't expecting to go out and see Romo. I wasn't expecting to go out and see Witten and all those guys, and, you know, like I would on a normal Sunday. But I've worked in media for, you know, for a while. I'm not going to tell people how long, but for a while. So I've always kind of analyzed the games. I always overanalyze the games anyway, even on the regular ones. I'm always breaking stuff down when people are just trying to have a beer and, you know, whatever. So, you know, a lot of times I get told to shut up during games. But I look at the preseason because I knew Romo was aging, and I knew nothing good lasts forever. You know, I saw people retire, and I watched Aikman retire, and I watched all this stuff. And so I would watch the backups. I would maybe watch a quarter because I don't want to see the third and fourth string guy. I just want to see the second string guy. I'd watch maybe the end of the first quarter through the second quarter, sort of see what he does, watch how he reads progressions, watch how, you know, how he makes the throws, can he make the deep ball, you know, is he accurate on the slant pattern. I would watch that stuff, and then I would also watch sort of who the backup running back is, different things like that. But I also kind of wanted to see the secondary. Okay, well, what guys do we have? And that's how I learned about J.J. Wilcox last season. Learned about him in the secondary. BWF, obviously we had drafted him, but I learned about what he could do in watching the preseason. So I don't necessarily care about the preseason as a whole. I just want the season to start. But I do like to use it as a tool to sort of look at some of the guys that I wouldn't normally get to see and see who we are as a team and see what we have to offer to the league as a team. And that's something that I like to do. I turn it off in the third quarter because then it's just the real clipboard holders. But I usually watch the first two quarters of every Cowboy preseason game.
Yeah, I mean, not me. No? I mean, I don't really care. You know, you want to call me a fanboy or whatever, but I'm just...
I never used to until I got in the media. I never gave a two craps about the preseason until I started doing this. And so, yeah, I'm with you there. It's boring.
Yeah, it really is. It's, yeah, exactly. It's boring. And it's just, like I said, I do it to check in on the rookies and see what's going on. But realistically, I know that the competition is garbage. So why do I want to watch that?
True. The competition isn't always great. Another thing about the preseason, a lot of people were talking about maybe shortening the preseason and extending the season, which I would like. I mean, I do see the benefits of the preseason, for sure. I see, you know, that why we need it, why teams like it, but I also sort of don't want it. You know, I want a longer season. I want extended playoffs. You could do away with the preseason completely. For me, I do use it, you know, as a tool, and it does. Another thing the preseason does is it gives me that football fix. I'm like, you know, you compare it to a drug addict, right? They need that fix. They need that hit after a while of not having it, and it starts to get, you know, start to get itchy. Same thing with me. I start to get itchy, and it gives me my football fix. It gives me sort of what I need after a while, and you know, I'll watch it just because I haven't watched football in 8 months. So that's why I would do it. But You know, I watched, like, I mean, you'll see scores in the preseason, too, like 12 to 10. You know, you'll see, like obscure stuff, like 22-19 and stuff. Like,
well, which is why I think they do this, right? Because when you think about it, all the crap happens in the preseason for the good teams. For the crappy teams, it happens all year long. But I think the reason why this is done in every sport is because, you know, basketball, you look at preseason, you'll see the 60s, you know, to the 70s game. And it's like, if you put that product on the floor to open the regular season, you're not going to sell many season tickets. So it's like, you got to think that that's what it's for. It's for the team rust. It's to get yourself into some competitive situations where your coach is forced to, you know, coach, but in a real time and not simulated games, not, you know, shared practices with a team from the opposite conference that you guys have agreed to work with. And I just feel like that's why they do it. They want to get as close to real game time scenarios as possible. Yeah, they use it as a who's going to make the team, but you just want to be ready for opening night. You don't want to be coming out game one of the preseason, but game one of the regular season instead. I mean, everybody would be pissed if that was the case.
That's true. Yeah, I suppose. Now, Dallas Cowboys, I do not believe, are playing in London this season. Why do you feel about the possible rumors of a team going to London? Now, again, 713-955-0359. Chat box is blowing up. I am actually bringing this up because Tom from Rhode Island brought this up. Not necessarily talking about the Cowboys, but they're talking about the show and what we're talking about. And somebody mentioned the London games, and it makes me wonder: how do you feel about the franchise potentially moving to London, especially if you have to play the preseason games as well? So you're going to be flying London for 4 extra weeks.
I despise it. I despise it so much so. Because it's just not, you know what I mean? There's a difference between the NBA having a franchise in Toronto and an NBA franchise in Europe. You know, it's like there's the U.S. and then there's just right up north. You know, like if they want to put an NFL franchise in Canada, that's brilliant. There's an idea. Like, why the hell are we stuck on London? Like, I get it that we're a money-grubbing bunch of, you know, gold diggers as far as the owners, the commissioner, and everybody in charge of the NFL. We want as much money as possible, and if we go to London, you know, that's going to start this whole domino effect. Well, it's like, dude, if they loved football that much, they'd have their own league out there. You know, they got the damn CFL out in Canada. You can't tell me that London and all the other stuff out in that direction couldn't put something together. So it's just
I didn't have a European league for a while, I believe, but it fell through. I remember I used to use
it. It obviously fell through for a reason, right? It certainly wasn't because of, you know, someone just stopped running it.
Yeah,
you know, the money probably stopped and it probably became, well, think about the money, man. So traveling, right? So 8 times out of a season, teams are gonna have to book thousands of dollars worth of individual tickets to get players back and forth. Like, the travel is nothing to laugh about. Like, a flight from Florida to New Hampshire is going to cost you, I don't know, $400 or $500 round trip.
Yep.
A flight from freaking Florida to London and back, it's a lot more expensive than that. So it's just one of the
hours.
Yeah. So it's one of those situations where, God, it just doesn't make sense to me, other than the fact that everybody's just obsessed with money. Put a team in Canada. If you're so about going international, put a freaking team in Canada. I mean, if you want to really be the big bad, you know, the big bad dog on the block, put it in Canada and run the CFL out of the place, you know? Because you can't tell me if you put a professional team in Canada, whether it's Toronto, Ontario, wherever, if you put a professional organization for the NFL in Canada, CFL would tank instantly. Because everybody on the CFL that's making a fraction of what they would make playing for the NFL team would be jumping aboard. So they'd be trying out, you know, and it would be over.
So I just feel like the money's equally as there in Canada as it would be in London. And I just think people are obsessed with, you know, London because there's been a few games played there and all the fans come out. It's like, well, okay, yeah, all the fans come out because there's usually one or two games per season played there. So it's an exciting event. It's almost like going to like a concert because it only happens once or twice in your area. So you have to plan for it, take weeks off, you know, and you have that X on your calendar months ahead of time. But if there's eight of them and preseason games, I'm telling you right now, nobody's selling out London games. I don't care what anybody says. The London Stadium would not sell out after the initial, oh my God, we got a franchise. Because what would happen is there's no way that that team would be a title contender right out of the gate. So team, those fans, you're not going to tell me they're the most passionate fans in the NFL when they don't even have a team yet. There's no way they would deal with the growing pains. No chance.
Well, that's funny you tell me that they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender because, first of all, okay, they're not going to get any players. Like, they can't even get players to, you know, free agents to go to Cleveland and Jacksonville and,
exactly.
You know, and Tampa.
Who the hell they're wants to live players. In London? Yeah, where they're going to have their family fly a seven-hour flight to come over for Christmas? Get out of here.
Not only that, but they can't get free agents to some of our teams. Not only would it be in London, okay, the stadium would be in London, okay, but the organization, because they've planned all this out. I mean, they're deep into the planning of this. The organization offices would be in Tottenham. So you won't live in Kansas City, but you'll live in Tottenham. You know, so I don't understand. I just think that it would have to be, it would be, you watch Family Guy? You're a Family Guy kind of watcher? I don't know.
I'm a casual one. My good friend is like religious, so I get all kinds of like, you know, memes and quotes.
Okay. Well, have you ever seen where they make a London team in Family Guy and they're called the London Silly Nannies?
I think I saw that one. Yeah, I think.
And
I saw
like
that.
They're like the worst team in the world. Yeah,
well, I also saw the one where Peter Griffin got to play with the Patriots, and I liked that one.
That was a good one too. So, but it's just that's what it would be because you know you would have to pay these guys ridiculous amounts of money to
it's
go
an
to
awful
London.
Idea. Awful idea.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's the National Football League, not the International Football League. But another thing, too, though.
Good point.
And the only reason I bring this up is people are going to say, and people chat, boom, there it is right there. They just said, well, Canada's another country, and you guys said Canada, and the Bills in Toronto. Okay, well, that's fine. The Bills play one game in Toronto, okay? And, yeah, they're right near Toronto, but they have the CFL. Leave that to them. This is the NFL, the National Football League. Well, they're like, oh, well, there's Canadian baseball teams, Major League Baseball. Do you hear the word national in there anywhere? No. And they're like, and somebody else goes, oh, yeah, well, there's a team in the NBA, National Basketball Association. I'm like, yes, that's fine. I understand that, but it's a different sport. Plus, we sort of have a
deal. Well, that was the point. I agree with those guys or girls or whoever's writing that. There are other leagues that have Canadian teams. And yes. I am all for that. That's why I just said put a team in Canada. But there's a difference between driving from Maine or New England or Detroit or wherever, Florida even, to Canada than there is going from Florida to London. All right? So for the people that are blowing the chat box up that are just you know, bitching to bitch, think about the two differences, right? You're going to go from a state within the United States to Canada. Not that big of a deal to go from a state within the United States to freaking London, England. It's a big deal. Way different. You're traveling over some different spots. And I mean, I don't want to make this whole conversation dark or anything, but I mean, we're not that far removed from the whole terrorism crap. And I don't want my guys flying too far away. That's just like I didn't want my Olympic basketball team playing out in Iraq and Iran and in exhibitions and stuff. For the Olympic Games. It doesn't make sense. I want my guys safe within my structure, which is national, which is the United States of America. But you can't, they call them our neighbors to the north for a reason. They're right there. You know, we have a lot of people that go back and forth through the border, and it's very common. All right. Going back and forth through that border is a lot different than going back and forth from us to London. And I don't care what anybody says. You're like I said, you're bitching to bitch. You're arguing to argue at that point. If you think that they're any way similar, they're not. No way.
Well, we all sort of have a geocentric sort of way of thinking in this country where we look at everything over here as being okay. Like, if you put a team in Montreal, team in Toronto, team in... Okay, if you put an NFL team in Toronto, put an NFL team in Montreal, put an NFL team in, you know, wherever, so Vancouver even, we would even be okay with it. But it's that crossing the ocean thing that I think people sort of are a little hesitant on. And, I mean, I know I brought this up in the midst of a preseason discussion, but the reason I say it is because they've been talking a little bit about possibly putting a team over there. That would then give you four extra London games. You'd have preseason games as well. Plus, it would give you, you know, it would boost ticket sales. It would boost, I mean, yeah, it would boost revenue
it
for the
sucks.
League.
The time's all effed up. I hate the London
games.
It ruins my damn, yeah, it ruins my damn week, dude. I don't want to wake up at 9 a.m. to watch my favorite team play in the dog crap town, London. I don't want to see it. I'm sorry. I don't want to watch London fans showing up with their Jacksonville Jaguar jerseys that still say Maurice Jones-Drew on them because they don't even know what the hell's going on. I'm sorry. I think they suck. I don't want a team out there. I just don't.
You want to know what's funny is they were talking about last season from when the Cowboys played out there because apparently
it sucked.
The Cowboys have the largest fan base of any team, I guess. But what I thought was funny was they were doing marketing and promotions, and they were trying to figure out who the players liked because they wanted to try to sell jerseys over there. And they said, "Oh, well, what's your favorite player? Or who's your best, whatever?" And everybody over there chose
Michael Jordan.
Well, no, they chose the kicker. Whenever a punter trotted out on the field, they cheered him. Punters never get cheered.
That tells you kicking. No, about
that's what they're used to.
Man.
Rugby and soccer.
Yeah, it's so stupid. I'm sorry. You can call me closed-minded, whatever. You know, out of touch, behind in the times. I don't know. I'm not a forward thinker, whatever. I mean, if I'm not a forward thinker, then that Canada idea apparently was terrible. But I'm telling you right now that you would make the same amount of money you would make putting a team in London as if you expanded to Canada. I'm telling you right now, period. And Canadian, I just feel like the passion that you're going to get from Canadian fans would be closer to that of like the Philly fans and the New Yorkers than you would get if you were to drop a team in London that would prefer to watch the kickers as opposed to the quarterbacks and the wide receivers and the defensive players. It's just so stupid. So stupid.
It is. And you know, I only brought it up, like I said, for the fans out there listening, everything. I only brought it up because it's going to be the preseason and they're saying that there may be a London team as early as 2018.
But they can't get a team in L.A.
Exactly.
Go figure that one out.
Now they're maybe going to have two of them. Now they're thinking of pulling two teams out of their respective cities, San Diego and Oakland.
Just leave them. I hate that. You want new teams? Make an expansion team. Don't just pull them out and ship them all around and piss fans off. I hate that. Leave the fans who they have. If the fans suck and you can't afford to, you know, redo some stuff to your stadium and you can't afford to have the newest, best stuff, well, that's a reflection of your terrible fan base. And then you know that you're putting a crappy product on the field and your fans don't support it. So you better get your crap together. You can get some fans and butts and seats, and then you can make some money, and then you can improve everything that you have. It's a vicious circle, but everybody wants everybody else to bail them out first. So, oh man, we can't sell out Oakland because, damn, we haven't put crap on the field in, I don't know, 20 years, but let's move to LA. That'll fix everything. It's like, really? Will it really fix everything? These are probably the most casual fans you'll ever meet in your life are Los Angeles natives. are people that literally would rather sit in a coffee shop reading books of poetry and updating their blog instead of going to a sporting event. That's what we're going to do. We're going to put two teams in a town like that. That makes a ton of sense. Good. Just great, great, great job, NFL committee. Whoever it was, Bob Kraft, apparently, and Goodell are like the head guys that are just making all the decisions nowadays. Just great job. Let's put two teams in L.A., rip them out of San Diego and Oakland, and make everybody travel to that dog crap town, Los Angeles. And
whoa, have you ever been to L.A.?
Yeah, I have, and it's disgusting. I would never go back there. I'll take Miami and Orlando over L.A. any day. But as far as, you know, it just makes no sense. If you want to expand your league, add teams. I'm so sick and tired of the fact it disgusts me. Seattle doesn't have a basketball team. So for years and years and years, the Seattle Supersonics and the NBA were a very, very good team. And then they go through one tough stretch and they fold up shop. Like, are you kidding me? And now they've been lobbying to get another team back there for at least 7 or 8 years with Gary Payton, leading the charge, and they can't get it done. And it's like, come on, you're making teams work in Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, and you can't make it work in Seattle, Washington, when you just had a Super Bowl win not less than 2 years ago.
Well, they'd have to make an expansion team, and then these leagues are all about having even numbers of teams, so then they all of a sudden have to make
a second expansion. It has to be a two, yeah, of course. But you just told me they want to do two teams in L.A. Perfect. You put one in the AFC, one in the NFC. Problem solved. But no, they don't want to do two expansions. They want to just rip, the Rams out of everybody's hands, and they want to rip the Chargers out of everybody's hands and rip the Raiders, freaking Raiders out of everybody. It's like, dude, just chill the hell out. All right. Go make one LA team. And then I know you're butt hurt if you don't get in London. So go make your bad idea London team. And then when that folds up in 5 years, you can put it in Canada and do the right thing. And then you'll be good to go.
I do see that, and it is all about ticket sales. I mean, to me, it's about, they don't care about what the team is and who's there. They care about who's going to pack their stadiums and put more money in the owner's wallets. And in this sense, what they're doing is, okay, the Rams need major stadium upgrades, facility upgrades. They don't sell out. They haven't been that good. So now the Rams owner has already said, we can't get the funding from the city. Well, then we'll get the funding from L.A. The Rams used to be in L.A. The Rams began in L.A.
This is the biggest problem. Let's not go out and draft the franchise QB. Let's not go out and get Pro Bowl players and then earn the respect back from our fans. No, let's just run away and go get the money elsewhere. This is the problem. And I guess this is why I give so much respect and credit to like the original teams, just like in hockey, the original six, but in the NFL, those original team, the Cowboys were an expansion team. Not a lot of people know that, but like the original teams, the Browns, the Bears, those teams that have just stayed put and have been able to handle the ups and the downs and are still there and still have the most loyal fans and still sell out and still have season ticket holders. My hat tips to you people, because you have allowed your team to not have to go through this joke of what California teams are going through right now. Because, and this is exactly, it's proving my point. Like, the owners are flat out saying it. Well, we can't sell out seats, so we're going to have to go get money elsewhere. It's like, really, you dumbass? Why don't you just draft some quality players, hire a GM that knows what they're doing, and then maybe people will show up to your games. Do you really it's a maybe, but do you really think, like, they're trying to do is sell a new pretty object, and that's going to fade away eventually. So what's going to happen in 10 years when that flops? You're going to move back to St. Louis? Like, it makes no sense. It's a never-ending circle of just money being wasted and stadiums being built and torn down. Like, I think it's a big scam. Maybe everybody's working together. Maybe they know they know construction companies, and then the construction companies know the demolishing companies, and they're all like, hey, we can build something that's going to need to be broken down in 10 years. You down? Absolutely. That's like, and they all like are working together. Like, all right, we're going to build a great stadium. It's going to ultimately fail because, I mean, well, look at the fans and look at the GM. But I mean, you're our guy to come up and blow the thing up in 10 years. All right, cool deal. It's, come on. It's almost like the same people that leave potholes in all the highway roads so you pop your tires and then have to go buy tires. They're all fuck. They're all working together. Give me a break. Oh, fix the potholes.
Of course. And well, and again, the reason I bring this up, and anybody who does want to call me, Bill, if you're listening, it is 713-955-0359. The whole thing is owners just want to go,
victory is mine.
Yeah.
And they don't really care about what they take from the, you know, from the fan base. But again, this is a Cowboy show, and the reason I bring this up simply is because, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are going to start playing in London. Not as a franchise, of course, but because they have such a big contingency of Cowboy fans over there, according to, you know, the league sources, that I don't believe they have, I'm going to go back and check, but I don't believe they have a London game this season, but I'm pretty sure that they that they just signed a contract to play a London game each of the next four seasons. Let me just check it out, though. Hold on. Games in London.
Well, think about it. It's exposure. It's exposure. Like, Jerry knows that the more faces and sets of eyes that see that star logo is ultimately millions and millions of dollars in international sales that are going into his pocket. So it's like he's just doing what's smart as far as the business standpoint goes. I mean, I personally don't understand why Mr. Kraft isn't doing the same thing, because, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, greatest owners in the NFL, it's easily a tie at one, and it's between Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft, the one and one, you know, 1A, 1B. And you can, you know, but whether it's personal preference, who you think is the actual guy. But I mean, it's just money. That's a pure monetary decision that Jerry's making. And you better believe that he's going to all the players and guys like Romo that have to sit on a plane with a bad back for freaking 8-9 hours and being like, hey, I'm going to take care of you. All right, we'll get you set up. Just bear with me. We're just trying to expand, you know, get that fan base built up a little bit more so we can start paying you guys some more in the future. So that's, I get what Jerry's doing. I just don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jerry also, I mean, he would obviously never move out of Texas, but he's going to do what he has to do in order to make money. But, you know, I'm doing my research here. There actually is a London team. In fact, I didn't really know any of this. I'm actually kind of interested seeing this. Apparently, there is a team called the London Warriors, and the Cowboys had just signed a team, F.A. Obada, out of also London Warriors squad. And apparently, there is a league called the British American Football Association National League, so the BASNL. Okay, which is the BAFNL, or whatever. It's just way too long to be an abbreviation for anything. And apparently that's huge over there. And now when they bring teams over, London, I'm reading here, has requested that the Cowboys come every year. Now, obviously, they can't do that, but they want them to come every single season, and that, you know, the best atmosphere they had at Wembley was when Dallas was there, and this and that and that. You know, the Global game still has a big impact because Cowboys have two London guys, him and then Jack Crawford, who played at Penn State, also from the UK originally. So they are, like, super pumped, you know, for Dallas over there. And, you know, it feels good, though, in a way, to have my favorite team be an international team, you know?
Yeah, I really don't care.
Now, here's another thing that we're doing that I want to try to do, and the only reason I'm saying it on air is so that we can get fan voting on it, but something called Quick Hits. It's something that the Dallas Cowboys staff does, the writing staff does, and we can come up with our own Quick Hits every single year. It's kind of like our Star or Not. Now it's our Quick Hits, and it's something where when the season comes, it's little, almost like news stories per se. So to give you an example, the quick hits on the Cowboys site right now are, As expected, quarterback Tony Romo returned to practice after missing Friday's light session with a sty around his left eye. He targeted receiver Dez Bryant down the sideline several times in drills, including a completion against Orlando Scandrick in 7-on-7 work. No surprise, Bryant's energy was noticeable. Even though he wasn't taking reps, he vocally supported each of his fellow receivers facing the defensive backs in 1-on-1 drills and was clear to point out defensive holding to the officials when necessary. Linebacker Sean Lee worked on resistance cords for much of practice as the Cowboys continued to ease him back into action following his return from last year's ACL injury. "We're just smart with the reps. How many reps he's going to take," defensive coordinator Marinelli said. "We've kind of monitored this whole thing out, got a plan for him." Kicker Dan Bailey was perfect on field goals between approximately 35 and 42 yards, and Lance Dunbar, Lucky Whitehead, and Cole Beasley were in punt return rotation. The Cowboys were looking for a replacement for Dwayne Harris, who signed with the Giants last offseason. So, I'm doing that quickly, just to show you examples so we don't waste too much time. But what I think we should do is get little news blurbs, little two-sentence news blurbs like that, record them. It's called voice tracking in the industry. Record them, put them up as MP3 under our quick hit in the studio here, and play those as news stories sort of in between as commercial breaks or in between whatever, so we're not talking for an hour and a half. And or those quick hits could end up being our topics for the day kind of a thing. So definitely a new idea that I'm tossing around, and I kind of want to see if people like the idea and all that. I don't know if you like the idea, but
yeah, I mean, it sounds fine to me. I have no issues. I just want a team in Canada.
Okay, but no team in London.
No, London sucks.
Okay. And I am going to ask you off the air why you don't like LA. I mean, I've never been, but a lot of people love it, so I'm interested about that. But
in about 15 it's just other than you don't even have to wait. You don't have to wait till off the air. I'm just telling you right now. I mean, they're hurting funny. It's just garbage. The only you know what the biggest thing that hurt me was when you realize the Hollywood signs are just little hollow, thin pieces of tin. You see it in movies and you think, oh man, that Hollywood sign looks so cool. I can't wait. I want to go up there, take a picture near it, da-da-da-da. And you get there and it's just like these just little garbage signs that are just up in the freaking hills. It's not cool. Like it's in the movies, Hollywood is made out to be this gorgeous, just city, town, this land, right? Like you just think Hollywood's just superstars, big houses, like just celebrities everywhere. It's probably great weather all the time. It's just California up north, it snows. It's California is not like this, you know, just sunshine, beach weather everywhere all through California all the time. It's a pretty comparable not really. All right. I take that back. I was going to compare it to New Hampshire because it has all the different seasons. But it's, I mean, yeah, you got L.A. and you got like all those, you know, the big name cities and all that stuff and down the coast, the ocean. But it's just it doesn't do it for me because, you know, I the whole beach thing played out with me after like high school. It's like when you're not going there to look at, you know, hot chicks and bikinis, it really sucks. It's boring as hell. It's hot. I don't surf. I don't want to be there. You know what I mean? It doesn't do it for me. You know, I'm in Florida. All right. I got Miami 2 hours away, Tampa. I got Orlando. I mean, all these places I'd take over LA any day of the week because LA is just full of a bunch of people that are trying to get in the acting industry that are overdramatic. They're all porcelain. You know, they've all had some form of cosmetic surgery. It's literally like walking around in a mall, but everywhere. And then once you roll up on like a rough part of town, it's like amplified by 10 and you got people out there making drug deals at the corners and stuff. It's not cool. Like I just don't, I was disappointed because I thought of it like it was like in the movies, you know, you see it in the movies and you're like, wow, I really want to go to LA. LA is the spot, LA Inc. and you know, all that stuff. But then you get there and you're just like, eh, like I think Vegas is better. Like Vegas, put a team in Vegas. Vegas, that would be huge. Are you kidding me? You're going to tell me Vegas team wouldn't sell out every night? You got so many damn visitors. You got so many damn visitors that come into Vegas. They'd just be buying tickets to say they went to go see whatever sport game in Vegas just to take pictures at the stadium. Holy crap. Get a team in Vegas.
And definitely agree with you there. I would love to have a team in Vegas. I hear you on the beach. That my mom is reading, so, and my mom loves 98 degrees and humid, not the band, but humid, you know, just
too hot.
Ridiculous heat. She'll lay on the beach from noon to sunset. I was on a fishing boat 2 days in a row all day. Boom. Just that's all I do when I'm on vacation, when I'm not following sports. So, but real quick, with 11 minutes left, I was going to bring up a little something, but I'm trying to find it here. It was in my notes, but if not, we can backtrack. But this was a slower show today. We didn't really have much going on because we're going to start getting into our game recap shows, and you know, we can talk about practice all you want, but if you know you want to see how these guys do actually on the field,
talking about practice,
practice. We talk about the game. I love Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson was the man. We need more players like Allen Iverson. Around the league news real quick. You see Jamal Charles call himself the LeBron James of the NFL?
Yeah, whatever.
I thought that was kind of funny.
It's a joke.
Thought that was kind of funny. But again, that's more to touch on with this Wade thing.
Good for him. Good for you, what? Jay Charles. I said, good for you, Jay Charles.
Yes.
Was it on Wednesdays with Wade when we were arguing about who the face of the NFL is?
This past week, yeah. And I said it was Tom Brady, and you guys laughed at me.
Right. If anybody's listening right now, we got, I don't know, like 5, probably 7 minutes left of the show. If anybody thinks Chris is a complete moron for saying that Tom Brady is the face of the NFL, please chime in and agree with me, because that is the dumbest statement I've heard in a long, long time. Right up there with, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the game. I just don't think you can be the face of the NFL if you're not statistically the best player and B, I don't know, the most popular at the position you're playing in. Like, there's everybody who's anybody sits here and will jump on the Aaron Rodgers bandwagon, best quarterback in the league, yada, 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 yada. And it's like, okay, but other than the fact that, you know, he has one Super Bowl in his entire career, and you get a guy out there who's got four, or is Brady on four or five now? Brady's on four.
Brady's
and you got guys...
Four.
Yeah. You got guys like Peyton Manning who have every quarterback record known to man, and the only ones he doesn't have, he's going to get this year by like week 7. And you're going to tell me that the face of the league is Tom Brady just because he happens to have his name in the media the most right now because he did something stupid? You know, was Greg Hardy the face of the NFL when he got caught for beating the crap, the life out of his girl? No. So it's not who dominates the headlines. It's who literally is pushed the most in marketing, who puts up the best statistical numbers and popularity, really. I had a buddy of mine bring up J.J. Watt, Gronkowski, you know, Sherman. These guys were all more recently the face of the league than Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. So I feel like I kind of agree with him. I feel like you see Watt a lot. Hell, you even see Gronkowski an awful lot nowadays in commercials and out in the news. I always thought the face of the league is picture the NFL emblem. Who's the first player you think of? It's Peyton Manning. In my mind, Peyton Manning. Every time I think of the NFL shield, and then I go, who plays in the NFL? Peyton Manning. MLB, still Derek Jeter. NBA,
well,
I hate him. I hate him. Yeah. LeBron James. NBA, LeBron James. So it's like I go through all the different leagues. And I have guys that, to me, are the guy that, you know, goes to the stockholder meetings representing that particular league, you know. And I just can't see anybody else other than Peyton Manning, and maybe Aaron freaking Discount Double Check. And I'm thinking maybe in a couple of years, Andrew Luck will probably take over. But you got to dominate in statistics, and Brady doesn't dominate in statistics. He just doesn't. His teams win him games more than he wins them games.
This is not a debate. This is a lecture. Exactly. He had more single touchdown games than multiple touchdown games. Can't be the face of the league if that's the case.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, Tom Brady also, I mean, excuse me, Peyton Manning, Commander, also does the...
Peyton's winding down, so I could understand if someone didn't agree with me.
Too, no?
Right, I could understand statistically he's getting old. So if somebody wants to say no to Peyton Manning and then throw Aaron in my face, fine. I will respectively say, okay, you got me. But don't you dare tell me that Peyton Manning is not the face of the NFL and then rebuttal with me with Tom Brady. Like, I love Tom. I think he's a good guy. I don't think he cheated. But give me a break, dude. You can't tell me face of the league.
So far, we have 15 people that say, yes, Chris is an idiot.
Thank you.
And so far, we have 6 people and growing who agree with me. But
all
those
New England fans.
Yeah, those six people live between Maine and Northern Connecticut.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yes. So, anyway. Oh, man.
At least you got some votes in your favor, Chris.
Yeah, I know. And after all the disparaging comments I said about Brady on Wednesday, I'm really kind of surprised anybody in New England is still listening to me. But
listen, I hate everything about the New England Patriots, but for you guys that you voted, you're the most passionate fans, okay? New England fans are the most passionate fans ever, always will be, and you've got the greatest coach to ever coach the game, I think. And the jealousy that I share for the coach that you have is unparalleled. So, at least congratulations to that capacity.
Oh, look at this. This just came up right now. I'm going to post this on our Facebook group. We have 5 minutes left to go on the show here. But I want to get your take on this. Back to Cowboys. We've kind of been around the league for a little bit here. DeSean Jackson just came out after camp today in an interview at Redskins camp and said, it says right here, DeSean Jackson doesn't believe that any NFL cornerbacks can stop him. That's what just came out today.
Yeah, but isn't that old news, though? Because I'm pretty sure that Chad Ochocinco used to put up a little piece of paper of all the different corners he played every week. And this was when watching the NFL was fun, by the way. And he would go to his locker and cross the name off after he burned him every game. And so now D-Jax, the fraud that he is, like, oh my God. For any of you who want to know anything about DeSean Jackson, go look at some of our older episodes. We did a rundown of all his career games and his statistics. The guy's had maybe four Pro Bowl caliber games in his career, and none of them have come against the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe one of them, I think. One of them did. And the guy calls himself the Cowboy Killer. What a joke.
That's craziness. So, yeah, we just wanted to finish off with that. I just figured I wanted to see, your response and your reaction to that. So we will be here again, same time, same place, but the only difference between right now and next week will be officially football season again. We will see you next month. Well, actually, we'll see you Wednesday at 4 o'clock for Wednesdays with Wade. But on this show, same time, same place, Monday, 3:30 to 5 o'clock, your Cowboy News Fix. Again, this is the Cowboy 90-Minute Monday. Talked about a lot of stuff today, training camps, who's going to challenge Dez, who benefits, should the team pick up Steven Jackson in the wake of DeMarco Murray leaving. We talked a little bit about the preseason and who cares and you know what it means to people. But we also sort of talked about London, and we got on to teams in other cities. We actually had a pretty good debate today. So for anybody who could not hear it due to work or whatever, it will be up on Spreaker. It will be up on OTSNN to check out also, as well as Blog Talk if you want to put it on our Facebook page, things like that. So for anybody who could not listen, we're not mad at you, but we do encourage you to listen at some point. And anybody who was listening, we thank you so much, because we're here because you help us along with that. So again, Chris and Dustin, and just in case anybody didn't know,
this is not a debate. This is a lecture.
Pretty much every week, it's the same thing. I'm used to it by now. So, OTSSN, we'll see you later.
Thank you very much for listening to Stars Align.
kidding me? That was a catch. Are you kidding me? That was a catch!